In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Christ is in our midst. Good morning. This morning we hear the familiar gospel story of the small of stature man Zacchaeus. It's always a harbinger of the upcoming Lenten season as well. Oftentimes we speak of the desire of Zacchaeus on this day and focus on that idea of desire, that we have to have a desire for the Lord as well. And it's a nice Lenten theme and practice and virtue that we need to develop and grow. But I'd like to look at it slightly different today and look perhaps at three elements of the story, or three phases that happen in this story. The first is the tree. Zacchaeus climbs up that tree because of his desire. He wants to see Jesus. The second is that Jesus says he wants to go to his home and have dinner. And the third is that Zacchaeus gives half his goods away and restores to those whom he has defrauded fourfold. So three different parts, A, B, and C, if you like. The first being the desire that brings Zacchaeus up that tree. The second, Jesus calling him, saying, I'm coming to your home for dinner. And the third, the change in Zacchaeus. The repentance of Zacchaeus. The action, or the response of Zacchaeus. You see, Jesus doesn't force himself upon us, upon any of us. But when he sees someone that has a desire for him, he tells them quite plainly, I want to be at your home. And for us, the home is our heart. When we express some desire for Christ, he wants to be present with us in our home. And when Christ becomes present with us in our home, there must be a response. Something should happen to us. If Christ is in our life, if Christ is in our home, if Christ has entered our heart, is living in our heart, then we can't be the same people we were before. Something must change in our life. Many people in the world today have chosen not to believe in Christ, not to believe in the gospel. And sometimes I hear reasons for, well, they don't believe it really happened. There's no proof that these things happened. But I think for many people, maybe even for most people, the reason they don't accept the gospel isn't because of some intellectual or logical idea, but because they don't want to change. Because if Christ is in your life, if he has entered your home, then we need to change. We would need to live for God. When I was in college, it seemed kind of logical. If God is the God whom we say he is, if God has asked us to live in a certain way, then we have to do it. It just seemed kind of simple, kind of logical. I remember a friend of mine in college, she saw that I was reading the Bible, and I had never gone through the Bible, the whole Bible before, and I was reading it, and she knew I was going through the Bible, and she said, what are you reading the Bible for? And maybe a bit in my simplistic approach to expressing it, I said, well, if God wrote it, I think we should read it. But if this is the Word of God, then there needs to be some response from us. It's just logical. It just makes sense. A few reasons why we should commit ourselves to Christ, that we should turn over our life to Christ, that we should allow Christ to change us, even though change is something that we often don't like to do. Firstly, Christ, our Lord, knows everything about you. We read in Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. God knows everything about you. He knows your needs, your desires, your wants. He is aware. Secondly, God knows what is best for us. We don't always want what is best for us. Any of you who have children know that children have lots of wants, but not everything they want is best for them. I might have told you that story of my sister and our family. We had gone to vacation. We went to the ocean, and it was really high waves. In fact, there was a sign that said, no swimming today, but I don't know, we didn't notice it. It was very beautiful, and the beauty of the scenery drew our attention to the water more than the sign to stay away from the water. But anyway, we were at the water, and I should mention my sister was only 4 years old at the time. So, and my father was holding my sister's hand because the waves were coming in. We were just sitting kind of on where the water hits the beach, and the water was coming over us. And my sister, she was 4 years old, my sister was pulling away from my dad. Let me go. Let me go, she was saying. And he said, no, no, the waves are too big. Let me go. She was pulling and pulling from him. And my father was trying to hold on to her. And she yanked her hands out from his hand. At the same time, a big wave came, crashed over us, and pulled her out, and she was gone. I'm 8 years older, and we were all just standing there, or sitting there, and she was gone. We were frantic. I remember how frantic my dad was at that moment, and he just started looking all over under the water, and his head was under the water, just feeling around to see if he could find her. And all of a sudden, another wave came, because they were big waves, and actually threw my sister back on the shore. And she was standing there like nothing happened. And my father was sputtering, coughing up water. He was so upset. And she's like, what's the matter, and all this. And it was looking back on it, it's something one can smile about. But kids don't always know what the right thing is. And we don't always know what the right thing is. But God does know what's best for us. Thirdly, when we reject the possibility of Christ living within us, there are spiritual consequences that take place. We lose the ability, the opportunity to be in a relationship with God. And we also shut ourselves off from the grace that God is pouring out upon us. We pull ourselves away. We don't experience the loving kindness of God when we don't receive Him fully in our life. And lastly, just a few reasons, and I'm sure there are dozens more, why we should commit our life to Christ, even to the point where that might mean, and probably will mean, that we need to change, is He's the creator of all things. And God has the right to be our Lord and our Savior. A person who is a potter and is making pots out of clay can make those pots look like anything they want. And not because the clay gives the potter permission to make any type of pot, but because the potter is the potter, and he's the one who is making the pot. And God is our creator as well. He's the one who makes us, continues to make us, really, to that extent that we open our life and allow Him to bring change into our life. Imagine if the story was Zacchaeus went up the tree, Jesus said, I'm coming over to your house for dinner. They had a nice dinner, and Jesus went home. There would be something wrong with that story, something missing in the story, but it's not. Zacchaeus went up the tree, Jesus says, I'm going to your house for dinner, and Zacchaeus changes. Now, I think for many of us here, that tree is like church. There's some desire that we have. Not everybody's going to church this morning. There's a lot of people that aren't at church that don't find that interesting or important. But those who are gathered here today have a desire, and they came to church. For all of you who have come to church, for all of us, Christ is saying, I want to go to your home. I want to have dinner with you. In fact, the Lord offers us dinner at His house when we come to be with Him in church, when our desire brings us up here. And so some of us even receive Christ, have dinner with Him at our home. And Christ enters into our home, our heart, even in a physical way through Holy Communion. But just as the story wouldn't be right if Zacchaeus climbed up the tree, had a nice dinner, and then didn't do anything else, if that's where the story ended, or even climbed up the tree, and Jesus says, I want to go to your home tonight for dinner, and Zacchaeus said, no, that's okay, I'm not prepared. That wouldn't be a good story. So we can't let that be our story. We need to be as Zacchaeus. He went up the tree. Jesus gave him the invitation to come to his own home and then to respond after that gift of his presence in our life with a change in our life. I think we can ask ourselves this question. Has my life changed at all because of my relationship to God? Are there places in my life that need to change? Perhaps it's in the way we look at other people. Perhaps it's in our lack of forgiveness or resentments that we have. Perhaps it's in the quickness in judging others. It could be in many things. And you know those things. I know those things. What are the areas that God needs to change in our life? And what are the things that I need to do to help bring about that change? Sometimes people get overwhelmed at this part, thinking, I've got to change. I can't do that. I can't do what the Lord asks of me. A beautiful thing is, though, the Lord doesn't ask us to change overnight. We have this lifetime of growing in the Lord, of progressing in our faith, of maturing in our faith. And sometimes people think that because it's so enormous what we're called to do, then we don't do anything at all. I'd like to close with a story from the Desert Fathers relating to this. There's a story told of a monk who had gotten away from his disciplines of prayer and fasting, and he felt too discouraged to begin again. It had been a long time, and he didn't know how to start. He told his spiritual father this, and his spiritual father, the abbot of the monastery, told him this story. He said, a man had a plot of land, and through his carelessness, brambles sprang up and it became a wilderness of thistles and thorns. He then decided to cultivate the land. So he said to his son, go and clear the ground. So the son went to clear it, and he saw that the thistles and thorns had multiplied. He said to himself, How much time shall I need to clear and weed all of this? And he lay on the ground and went to sleep. And he did this day after day. Later, his father came to see what he had done and found him doing nothing. When his father asked him about it, the son replied that the job looked so bad that he could never make himself begin. His father replied, "Son, if you had cleared each day the area on which you lay down, your work would have advanced slowly and you would not have lost heart." The lad did what his father said, and in a short time, the plot of land was cultivated. So the Abba told the discouraged monk, "Do a little work and do not faint, and God will give you grace." The disheartened monk took up his prayer again with patience, without trying to do everything. So my brothers and sisters, God wants to be present in our home, and he wants us to respond by repentance, by change. But let's decide to do something, a little thing. Pick some small goals that we can achieve and then move on from there, rather than being overwhelmed with an enormity of possibilities. But focus on something that you can do. And if we all did that, if we all did something and a little something and continue to do that, our church would not only be filled with people whose homes are filled with the presence of the Lord, but our church would be filled with a multitude of holy saints. And this is what we're called to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.